Praise God. Well, we're so glad today that you're here to worship with us. I don't believe it's any accident. You know, when I'm out of town or if I'm on a vacation, my wife and I will oftentimes find the nearest, best church we can find while we're on the road, and we'll go visit there. And God always has a word for visitors. Amen? So I want to encourage you, those of you that are guests that aren't here normally, God has something to say to you today. He's got something very special to plant in your heart that will change your life because you took the effort to come out. So thank you again for visiting with us. And we're just going to get into the Word of God now. We're so excited about the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you again. There's a whole lot going on in our world. Make sure you tune in, as much to this book as you do to Fox News or any news you're watching, okay? Don't pour more of the world's viewpoint, the world's outlook into your life than you're pouring God's outlook. Put God's outlook in your heart, and it'll keep your heart from being troubled, because these are certainly troublesome times. Amen?
Amen?
But not for us.
That's right.
Not for us. Would you stand together with me? We're going to read in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, beginning with verse 9. I'll have Alan put it up here on the screen for us in the King James Version. If you know it by heart, you can simply quote it. And we've been doing a series on the Lord's Prayer. If you need a little cue sheet, it's right here for you. Amen? And let's just close our eyes. Those that haven't memorized, those that have it in your heart, let's just say it not as a poem or rote, but let's say it as a prayer to the Lord today as we begin this message. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I say amen. I like the British accent. My wife says amen, more like Texan. So we started our study a few weeks ago on the Lord's Prayer, and the opening phrase of the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father," not "my Father." It's kind of different that the Lord taught us. You know, Jesus didn't do anything by accident. He didn't miss a word here, like I missed the microphone and tripped on it today. Jesus didn't do stuff like that. He said things very deliberately. So when he taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, he said, say it, our Father. Why? Because he was talking in Matthew chapter 6. If you go back a chapter before, it's the beginning of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was speaking to multitudes, right? And so Jesus is teaching us from the very beginning of prayer, our prayer life, and that is that the kingdom of God is comprised of multitudes, not just you, amen? Although sometimes we behave like black holes in space where we, you know, swallow up the world around us in self-centeredness, God reminds us in the very get-go of this prayer. He says, remember, there's other people besides just yourself. Amen. So we say our Father, not just my Father. Don't just pray selfishly. Jesus, through this prayer, is working to eradicate self-centeredness in our life. Amen. It's true. One or two of you believe it, but it's true. And then he says the second phrase, which art in heaven, which art in heaven. Well, you say, well, how far is heaven from here? Well, there's a place beyond space called heaven. It's far, far away, as they would say in Star Wars, the galaxy far, far away. Paul, speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, he said this about heaven. He said, there was a moment in which I was caught up out of my body. And actually, he says, I don't know if it was out of the body or just in the spirit, but he says, I was unable to go to the third heaven. He uses this phrase, third heaven. You say, well, where's the third heaven? Well, if you look around us, we look up at the sky every day. That's considered the first heaven, the sky. The second heaven would be beyond our sky, which is outer space, right? The final frontier. And then beyond space, we have what would be considered the third heaven. And Paul goes on to describe the third heaven by saying this. He says, it was stepping into paradise. Paradise. And the word he uses there in the language of the original writing there in the Bible, it was of Oriental origin, and it means simply a beautiful park. A beautiful park. Another interpretation would be a pleasure garden. A pleasure garden. And you know, many visitors, people who have had out-of-the-body experiences, I believe Paul had this experience in Acts chapter 14. If you read it, Acts 14, 19, he was stoned in a town called, starts with L, Lystra. Lystra. Paul was in Lystra, and the Bible says they stoned him and left him for dead. I personally believe that this writing about being caught up to the third heaven was from that experience, because when you get stoned with real rocks, you probably are dead. And they left him for dead. And in that moment, I believe Paul was enabled to go to the third heaven to experience these beautiful parks. And people who have had out-of-the-body experiences and had a taste of heaven, they'll come back and say things like, I walked across beautiful meadows and there was no fire ants. And beautiful flowers that, you know, they're as big as your head, you know, beautiful flowers putting off scents. God is into gardens, amen? In fact, he started this whole thing in the Garden of Eden, right? Which means the garden of pleasure. And yet, as far out as God is, way out there beyond space in the third heaven, he's near. The psalmist said in Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4, he said this, what is man that you even take note of him? What is man that you would even bother to visit him? Amen. And Jesus went on to elaborate in Luke 17, 21. He said, the kingdom of God is not far out there. It's within you. So I would say it this way. The place called heaven is certainly far out there. Scientists believe our own galaxy is infinite in measure. They can't measure it. In fact, they use breakdowns like light years to describe distances in our own galaxy. And light years have to do with trillions of miles. That's a lot of miles, right? But God says, Jesus said in Luke 17, 21, he said, the kingdom of God is in you. So the place called heaven is far away, but the experience of heaven is as near as your heart. Amen? The experience of heaven is as near as your heart. And then he goes on to say, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. I just want to say this about that phrase. I'm not going to elaborate on it much. But as Father, as our Heavenly Father, God is blameless for all the evil that goes on in the world. I don't know if you know this, but God's not responsible for the evil that goes on in this world. The devil is, and man's failure is. God gets a bad rap most of the time. Even insurance companies say things like, an act of God. They got that wrong, don't they? No, God is a blameless Father, which means he is guilt-free in his care and provision and protection of his own and his children. Amen. That's what it means to say, hallowed be thy name. It means you are guiltless, God. I don't stand before you today and raise a fist and say, you did this to my family. You did this to my mother. You did this to me. No, that's a wrong attitude. He's guiltless as a father. He's a good, good father, as Chris Tomlin wrote in his song. It's true. He is a good father. And then he goes on to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What is that? Last week we talked about submission. Submission. Well, what is submission? Submission is like a builder, like we're doing right now with our new church building. Every time we come up with designs, we have to go down to the city, right, Evan? We have to go down to the city's inspectors and engineers and these people, and we set a proposal before them, and we ask, what do you think? What do you think? That's called submission. We submit it to them for review. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, I have a will, I have a desire, I have a direction I'm going, but it may not be the right way. So we stop and we pause and we say, Father, do I go left or do I go right? I hear you saying go right. I was going to go left, but I think I'll go right. That's the better way. Amen. That's what it means to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. It means I take all my plans and I submit them to you. What do you think? Right? That's what Jesus is teaching us. Well, today we're going to talk about, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. In studying that phrase, there's a unique thing about that word daily. The word daily there in the Greek language is not used anywhere else in the Bible. It's a unique word in the Greek language. You can look it up on your own. But it's only used in two places, and they're both in the Lord's Prayer, both in Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer and Luke's account. And the best interpretation among scholars that they've come up with is this. The word daily simply means the coming day, the day ahead. All right? So if you're praying this prayer in the morning, it means the day ahead of you. Give us this day, today, Sunday, March 26th. If you're praying this prayer at night, it means you're looking ahead to the coming day, the next day. Give us tomorrow our daily bread. Give us our provision. And what does that teach us? It teaches us this. The best way to avoid stress and anxiety is to pray. Pray about today. Pray about tomorrow. Pray about the coming day. Pray about what's ahead. And that will alleviate stress and anxiety. That's what Jesus is showing us here. Well, religion will tell you, quit being so gimme about things in life. Quit saying to God, gimme, gimme, gimme. Well, that's not what Jesus taught. What did Jesus say? It's right here. He said, give us. Well, that sounds selfish to me. That's what the religious mind would say. That sounds very selfish. You're just one of those give me Christians. Give me, give me, give me. Well, Jesus said to ask. He said, go to God and say, give me. Give me my daily bread. Give me the supply I need for the day ahead. That's not selfish. What is that? It's acknowledging that we are needy. We are needy. Listen, we are needy. And he's the supply. We are needy, and he is the supply. And he delights in being the supply to us. In John 6:35, Jesus was speaking about himself, and he said this. He said, I am the bread of life. John 6:35, I am the bread of life. When I think of that word of, I think of it like this. I am the bread that is life. I am the bread that is life to you. And that's what Jesus said. He said, everything that you need for living, it's me. Amen? It's me. We see those phrases, you know, in the world around us, life is good. Well, I'll tell you the truth is, Jesus is good. Right. Everything that comes to us good in life is really Jesus, who is the bread of life. He's the bread that is life to us. Amen? In fact, he was born in a town in Bethlehem. We know that from the Christmas story, right? Bethlehem, the famous place where Jesus was born. It was a small town. It was a very off-the-beaten-path kind of place. Much like some of the towns around here. And in the Hebrew language, the word Bethlehem means this. It means house of bread. If you break it down in the Hebrew language, Bethlehem simply means house of bread. Bet is house. Lechem is of bread. House of bread. That's where Jesus was born. Jesus was born in a place called house of bread. What was that telling you? He came to supply us. Yeah. Amen? He came to supply us. Listen, anytime you have a good moment in life, when you're tempted to say, life is good, man, this is, all, you know, all the planets are lining up, or life is good, all those worldly phrases. No, stop and say, Jesus, you're the bread that is life to me in this moment. You're the reason I feel so happy. You're the reason things are going so well right now. It's called life. It's called bread. It's Jesus. It's a person. It's not a thing. It's a person. His name is Jesus, who came from the town that means house of bread. There's another interesting symbol about Bethlehem in the Old Testament. You remember Jacob, from whom the whole tribes of Israel came? 12 children, right? Jacob's wife, Rachel, when she stopped to give birth to their second son, she stopped in a little place called, you guessed it, Bethlehem. And there she passed away as she was sacrificing her life to give birth and bring her second son into the world, Benjamin. Her name actually means female lamb. Isn't that interesting? Rachel means female lamb. And in a sense, Jesus, the bread of life, became the Lamb of God who sacrificed to give birth to us, sons and daughters. Amen. Just like Rachel sacrificed her life to give birth to her son, Jesus sacrificed to give birth to us. Amen. Just in that same place, Bethlehem. Listen, Jesus cares about our needs. There's no need too small. I like those phrases. I told you this last week. When you see a truck or a van go by and it says, you know, these are handymen. Handyman? I need those guys in my life. They are handymen. And they say on their slogan, no job too small. I'm going, yes, I'll call you when I need you. Why? In God's eyes, there's no need that you and I have that's too small. Yeah. Nothing too small to present to him. And you go, oh, Father, I hate to bother you. I know you're running a universe, but I got to get a new tire today. Can you help me? Can you give me a break? No, God, in God's eyes, every need is small because he's so big. Amen. But there's no need too small that he won't answer. Amen. He is the supply for our life. He is the bread of life. Praise the Lord. Well, there was a psychologist with a last name Maslow. How many of you ever studied about Maslow? One. Oh, three. Great. Awesome. A man named Maslow described the hierarchy of human needs in this way. He said it's like a pyramid. And at the bottom of the pyramid is our most base needs, things like food, sleep, shelter. Those are the very basic needs that we have in life. And as we go up the pyramid, the needs become more intense. They become more significant. Things like security, safety. That's a little higher up on the pyramid than just basic food. Amen. It does you no good to have a good meal in your tummy if you're stressed. If you're worried about someone breaking in your house, that's more important than the food in your stomach, is what he was saying. Further up the pyramid, we get into things like needs of belonging, like love and acceptance. People have a need to be loved. People have a need to be accepted. Further up, there's things that relate to our esteem as human beings, we have a need for dignity and approval of others. I know that can get out of hand. Anything can get out of hand. Amen. Food can get out of hand. But we all have a need to be approved to a certain extent. And this man, as he studied it, and the Bible would confirm it too, these needs are legitimate. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, self-discipline. Those are all healthy self-esteem related traits that we need. These are needs of ours. At the very top of the pyramid, he said, is this idea of self-actualization. I know that's a long word. It simply means you fulfilling what your true identity is. If you're a painter, you have a need to paint. If you're a sculptor, you have a need to sculpt. Amen. And God knows this. He designed you that way. If you're a fisherman, where's the water? Give me the pole. I'm heading that way, right? Because you're called to fish, like Peter. And God knows that we have these needs. And said Jesus, when he said, pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, he's not just talking about the food on your table. He's talking about things like self-esteem. Lord, I need self-esteem today. I need joy today. Amen. I need to fulfill what I was created to do. I need every tool at my disposal to complete the job that God has given me to complete. These are the things that would qualify as daily bread. They fall into that same category as daily bread, daily supply. And Jesus is happy to give it. In fact, it's fascinating, isn't it, that he allows us to get involved in his care for us by praying that prayer. That's a funny thing to me. God says, you pray this, and then I'll do it. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, I'll do it. He's just so ready to supply, so ready to give. And I want to say this, you know, it's worth the cost. No matter what it costs for you, for God to supply us, everything that's needed. You know, when Terry and I stepped into pastoring years ago, we stepped into needing to do more reading, for example. I read books all the time. Why? Because I'm standing here in front of you. I got to talk. And so my reading level has gone up. We go to conferences. We soak ourselves in the presence of God. Why? Because the output is greater, right? The output is, the demand is greater than it was before we stepped into pastoring. Well, this is what God does for all of us. Whatever God has called you to do, he gives you the supply that's needed, and no cost is too high, because he knows that when you start to pour out of your life to others, what he puts in you, it's priceless. Amen? It's priceless. What you have to give to others is priceless, and God will, he will supply you. You cannot ask God for too much from heaven. It in the sense of daily bread. Praise the Lord. Again, religion says, you know, God teaches us to only ask for our needs, not our wants. And that's not legit. That's not true. Jesus taught in John 10:10. Do you have that verse? John 10:10. He revealed the Father's heart. He said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That you might have life and that you might have it more. Notice he put the word more in there. Jesus about more. Religion says, quit asking for more. Jesus says, no, you need more. Amen? You and I don't know the extent to which God is calling us to give out of our lives. You might be the next Billy Graham. Who knows? And so God has to pour into you a bunch of things, all this wisdom, knowledge, insight into the Word of God, whatever it is. God will invest the wealth of heaven into you so that you can pour it into the world. Amen? And there's no cost too great. He knows the priceless gift it will be. Paul told Timothy, he said, I want you to talk to rich people in your church, and I want you to tell them this. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who gives us what? Richly. Those of you who know your scripture, 1 Timothy 6:17. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you know God is okay with you enjoying things? Amen. Yeah, he is. He's not just taking care of your basic needs. That would be like a man who is a caregiver of an orphanage and makes sure that there's 3 square meals a day on the table for the orphans and gives them a coat in the winter and a cot to sleep on. No, God is greater than that. Right. Amen? He's not just providing for your basic necessities. He is providing for the things that are dear to you because they're precious to him. Amen? It delights the Father's heart to delight our heart. If you're taking notes, that's a good one. That's a Scott original. It delights the Father's heart to delight our heart. It's true. The things that delight your heart, I've seen the Lord do this many times lately. People call it a God wink, right? You've heard that phrase, God wink or a heaven wink. And there'll be times, and I'll say, you know, just within, I don't even pray it. I don't even ask for it. I'll just say, I just think, oh, it'd be kind of cool to have that. And then I say, no, God's pouring it into my lap somehow. And I go, God, I didn't even ask for it. He just gave it to me. Why? Because it delights the Father's heart to delight our heart. Amen? And this is what Jesus is talking about when he's teaching on daily bread. So next time you're out, we were out this week. We took a little trip up to Central Texas, and it was beautiful. We happened to, by accident, thankfully, we caught the wildflowers in really good bloom. We've gone looking for them many years and hit it at the wrong time. But it was just like, ah, this is perfect. And you know, when you drive by and you see beautiful flowers in bloom, don't take that for granted. The human eye has a need to see beauty on a regular basis. That's part of life. It's our bread. It's our daily bread. It's our necessity to take in beauty and to behold it. And as we do, God is feeding our soul. Amen? And so God fed our soul really richly. In fact, I didn't spend a lot of time praying for the weather. I mean, maybe my wife did, but she often covers all those basics in her prayer requests. But I didn't. But yet the weather was perfect the whole week. It was warm but breezy. And even one morning when we went to breakfast, it was raining outside, but we were inside. So it was all just perfect. Those things we can't take for granted. When God surrounds you with the blessings of creation and the blessings of life, don't take it for granted. Savor it as your daily bread. He's supplying your daily bread that day. Drink in deeply. Every time you have a good laugh, drink it in deeply. The Bible teaches us, and medicine has actually proven it to be true, that when you have a good laugh, it ups your immune system. It actually boosts your body. And so every time you have a good laugh, that's a gift from God. Amen. Laughter is a gift from God. That's your daily bread. We all need laughter a little bit every day, right? You got a good laugh at me today. I tripped over the mic. I mean, hey, it's, what a way to start off the church service. It's not just about food. I hope when you pray the Lord's Prayer next time, you won't just think of, give us this day 3 square meals. In fact, here in the West, probably the reason we don't pray this, is particularly this phrase very much, is because most of us have 2 freezers. We got groceries galore. We don't think we need daily bread. Why? Because we're just thinking of food. Well, I know you got plenty of food, but do you have joy for today? Do you have your proper measure of self-esteem and dignity? Has that been imparted to you for the day ahead? Have you received it yet? Have you asked for it? We all need it every day. And Jesus told us, ask for it. Give us this day our daily bread. I would say the greatest thing that this part of the Lord's Prayer promotes in us, particularly again here in the West, is this idea of dependence upon God. And we need that really bad here in the West. Again, we are surrounded by so much provision, it's easy to feel independent. I really don't need God. I don't need to pray this every day. No, you do, more than you know. You need God's daily bread of supply in every area, your emotions, your spirit, your mind, your physical being, even for the future. You don't know what's coming. I don't either. Who knows what shenanigans the government's going to pull in 2023? But praise the Lord, we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. And God's taking care of today and the day ahead and the next day. I want to finalize this message by saying this. There's a law in finances that says that money can compound. I know some of you that have done well in money and lived this out or experienced it or heard or read about money. Money management, you understand this idea that money can compound, it can build if you get it going the right direction. That's why debt going the wrong direction is like compounding against you. But money can compound, and the blessings of God in our life can compound as we pray for these things regularly. You begin to see the Lord's providing not only for today and tomorrow, but the next day and the next. And in fact, you'll step into a year or several years from now and you realize, I'm living in the answer of something I prayed for years ago. Why? Because you had the guts enough to pray it. Yeah. And so Jesus encourages us, pray, give us this day our daily bread. Praise the Lord. Won't you stand together with me? Praise the Lord. He's so good. Amen? Amen. And he's bringing us into more and more. Always keep this thought in mind. Your future is brighter than your past. Amen. Sometimes we go through seasons of storm, seasons of testing, when we feel like, I don't see any hope ahead. I'm telling you, there's hope ahead. Yes. Amen. Everything of God's goodness that you've known to this point, he's got more in store. That's why I think Jesus kind of threw that word in there in John 10:10. He said, more abundantly. Amen? More abundantly. What you've tasted of God's goodness to this point is nothing compared to what you're going to taste. If you'll believe, and if you'll ask, and if you'll trust, give me this day my daily bread. Lord, I'm praying for tomorrow, my tomorrows. Fill them with your hope. Fill them with your strength. Fill them with your provision. All that I need to accomplish what you've designed me to be. If I'm a painter, Lord, give me good paints. Give me good brushes, right? All the things, all the tools that are necessary, and God will supply it. And you'll see a compounding of his blessing in your life. Like I said, I woke up the other day and there was something that I realized, man, I've been praying for this. I've been asking God for this. And I'm stepping into the realization, the fulfillment of multiplied times that I've prayed on this particular thing. It's good to have that compounding working in our favor. Amen? Bow your heads together with me for just a moment. I know we've got guests in the house today, and I just want to end today by giving you an opportunity. Anybody that's here that may not have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you've never asked Jesus to come in to wash you of your sins. You've never become a child of God, what the Bible calls being born again. And this is your opportunity today to do that. You're here, and I'm here to preach the gospel to you. I'm here to welcome you into the family. We're going to pray a simple prayer in just a moment. But if that's you, and for the first time you say, Pastor Scott, I want to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to ask him to forgive me of my sins. I want to be saved today. I don't want to go another day thinking that my future might be potentially leading to an endless hell in eternity. I want to be saved. I want to know that park you talked about earlier, that beautiful garden, that place called heaven is my new home. If that's you today at all, anybody at all, would you raise your hand real high and just let me see it? Don't be ashamed at all. We all stepped through this gate at one time and gave our life to the Lord. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved today. Anybody at all? Just raise your hand real high. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray this prayer together. Father, we thank you. For sending Jesus, your provision, the Lamb of God, to die in my place, for my sins. Save me, Lord. Wash my sins in the blood of Jesus. I believe he's your son. He died on the cross for me, was buried, and rose on the third day to eternal life. Save me now, Jesus. Be my master and Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hey, I want to encourage you to use the Lord's Prayer as a model. It's not to be just recited like a cliche, but use it as a model to structure your prayer life and make sure that on a daily basis you're asking God for your daily bread. Hey, if you received Jesus for the first time today, on your way out, if you would just see this man, raise your hand real high there. Lee, this is Lee Puffy, my head usher. He's the youngest guy in our ushers department. And Lee's got a book we'd like to give you. It's a book about starting your new life in Jesus. If you, from your heart, prayed that prayer today to accept Jesus, I want you to just stop by and see Lee on your way out. He'll give you that book for free, and it'll bless you. Amen. Be blessed, church. We love you. Have a great week. And guys, we'll see you Friday night at the dinner. And be sure to sign up for that.